Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Today we're going to study John chapter 11, verse 43, just one verse. We already went through this verse Friday at when we considered a larger text, but there's something in this that I would like you to see. John chapter 11, verse 43. Now that text says, "When he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, 'Lazarus, come forth.'" Now, specifically, he uses those words, "come forth," but they remind me of something in the Bible. And today, what we'd like to look at is something that we'll call the three raptures. The three raptures. Now, the text again says, when he had cried with a loud voice, he said, "Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus, come forth." Now watch. Three times in your Bible, there's a similar phrase. And this similar phrase that we're going to look at in the Bible is actually used exactly the same way each of the three times that it comes up. The phrase that's similar is the phrase, "come up hither." Come up hither. And it's used three times in your Bible. And when you go through and look like we're going to do today in the Bible, you're going to find out that the three times that that phrase shows up in the Bible represents three completely different and distinct raptures. Let's read the verses first that contain the similar phrase. The first time that it shows up in your Bible is in Proverbs chapter 25 at verse 7. Proverbs 25 verse 7 says, "For better is it that it be said unto thee, come up hither, than that thou shouldst be put lower in the presence of the prince whom thine eyes have seen." Come up hither. Look again in Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4 and look at verse 1. Revelation 4, 1 says, "After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said," and this voice is speaking to John, "come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. Come up hither." And then Revelation chapter 11. Revelation chapter 11, and look at verse 12. This is spoken to Moses and Elijah after they've been killed, after they've witnessed for 3.5 years. Revelation 11, 12, "And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them." Three times you find the phrase used, "come up hither," once in the Old Testament, Proverbs 25, 7, and twice in the New Testament, once in Revelation 4, 1, spoken to John, and once again in Revelation chapter 11, verse 12, spoken to the two witnesses. Now, each time that it's spoken, it represents a different group, and each time that it's spoken, it represents a different time. And each time that we find a group of people being raptured, we find that it has been prophesied, and then we find where the event took place. First of all, we're going to see in this lesson the rapture of the Old Testament saints. The rapture of the Old Testament saints. Now, this was prophesied in Psalms. Psalms 16:10 and Psalm 68, verse 18. Let's go back there and look. The prophecy concerning the rapture of the Old Testament saints. All right, Psalm 16, and look at verse 10. Psalm 16:10, the Bible says, "For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell." Neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life, and the presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. You know who that's a reference to? That is a reference to Jesus Christ. Keep your finger there in the book of Psalms, because we're going to come back, and go over here to the book of Acts. The book of Acts, and look at Acts chapter 2, where Peter's preaching at Pentecost. Acts chapter 2, Peter is beginning to tell them something about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, because there are many people who didn't believe in it. And in Acts chapter 2, verse 27, Peter quotes this verse that we just read in Psalm 16:10. He says, "Because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption." See that? Now, again he says it in verse 31. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. So he's quoting Psalm 16:10, and now gives you the application to Jesus Christ. Well, what was Jesus Christ doing down in hell? Well, go back to the book of Psalms. Psalm 68. And look at verse 18. What was he doing in the lower parts of the earth? What was down there? Psalm 68, verse 18. The Bible says, "Thou hast ascended on high, Jesus Christ. Thou hast led captivity captive." "Thou hast received gifts for men, yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord God might dwell among them." Now, what's that a reference to? Well, you know, the Holy Spirit concealed many things in the Old Testament that he revealed in the New Testament. Paul tells you exactly what that is a reference to in Ephesians chapter 4. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4, because what does he say in here when he said, "Thou hast ascended on high, thou hast led captivity captive, thou hast received gifts for men"? What is that? Well, in Ephesians chapter 4, you finally find out. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8, the Bible says, "Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men." Paul is quoting Psalm 68, verse 18, in reference to something that Jesus Christ did. What did he do? Verse 9, "Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave," these are the gifts that he gave, "some apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." So the reference in Psalm 68:18 that prophesies the first rapture talks about captivity being led captive by somebody that ascends on high, whose soul was not led in hell, whose body did not see corruption. Well, then we better go back to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ and see if we can get a little bit more handle on this thing. Because obviously somebody came up at his resurrection besides just Jesus Christ. Excuse me. Look in Matthew chapter 27 and notice in Matthew chapter 27 that some bodies came up. They probably did not ascend, but they came up at least for a period of time. Matthew chapter 27, look at verse 50. "Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost." Matthew 27, verse 51. "And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened. And many bodies of the saints which slept arose." Wow! Now, I don't know how long these guys were up, but you know what? They came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. So these bodies came out of the graves when Jesus Christ came out of the grave, and they went into Jerusalem, and they appeared unto many people after Jesus Christ's resurrection. But undoubtedly, their bodies went back to the graves, or they ascended up with the Lord Jesus Christ right away. But why, I mean, they were just in the graves. Why then did Jesus Christ have to descend into the lower parts of the earth to lead captivity captive? Well, that's a good question. I'm glad you asked that. The reason that Jesus Christ had to descend into the lower parts of the earth, you know, Jesus Christ's body was in the grave, just like these bodies of the Old Testament saints were in the graves. His spirit was with God. He said on the cross, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." But the soul of Jesus Christ had gone into the lower parts of the earth, like Psalm 16 said, "Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither suffer for thine holy one to see corruption." The body didn't corrupt in the grave, and the soul didn't stay down in the lower parts of the earth. So you see, not only was hell down in the lower parts of the earth, there was some other compartment that was down there, and it's very, very important that Jesus go down there. You see, in the Old Testament, before Jesus Christ died on the cross and rose from the dead, Old Testament saints didn't go to heaven. Of course, Moses, Elijah, and Enoch are exceptions, but Old Testament saints didn't go to heaven. They went into a special place called Abraham's bosom. Look in Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16. There's a rich man and a man named Lazarus laid at his gate, and he wants to be fed and all that kind of stuff. Verse 22 of Luke 16. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. He didn't go to heaven. He went to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." But Abraham said, "Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this," watch it, "between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence." So while Jesus Christ was in hell, he also went to Abraham's bosom. And when he went to Abraham's bosom, those souls that were held captive there, he led to heaven with him. He led captivity captive. He took them with him. Now notice, they didn't have to wait until Jesus Christ ascended 40 days later to be able to go up with him to be in heaven. No, as a matter of fact, they ascended up that very morning that Mary had come to the tomb. Look in Matthew chapter 28. And John chapter 20. Matthew chapter 28 and John chapter 20. Both places. All right. John chapter 20. Look in verse 16. When Mary recognizes Jesus, she recognizes him when Jesus calls her name. Jesus saith unto her, "Mary." She turned to herself and saith unto him, "Rabboni," which is to say, "Master." John chapter 20, now look at verse 17. Jesus saith unto her, "Touch me not, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren, and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." And then she went and told the disciples that. He said, "Tell them, I ascend unto my Father, your Father, to my God and your God." Okay, now that's right there, first thing in the morning, when Mary sees him, and she can't touch him because he hasn't ascended yet. Now, a little later on in the day, maybe 3 hours later, Matthew chapter 28, watch what happens. Jesus Christ appears to the disciples and appears to the people that are going to tell the disciples in verse 9. Matthew 28:9. As they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And look what they did. They came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. Then he's already been up and back. Same day. What did he do? Well, he went up there, and Hebrews tells you a little of what he did. The other thing that he did is he took those souls that were down in Abraham's bosom and he put them up there in heaven so they didn't have to be in Abraham's bosom anymore. And then he came right back down to the earth and appeared to the disciples. Now, the souls of the Old Testament saints then were raptured at the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ and his ascension that day, but not the bodies. The bodies didn't come up then, and they won't till later. As a matter of fact, back to Acts chapter 2, when Peter was preaching there, he said, so that people would know that Psalm 16 was not about David, he said this. In Acts chapter 2, verse 29, men and brethren, Acts 2:29, men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. That's 50 days later. So the bodies didn't go up. They won't go up until when? They won't go up until Ezekiel 37, the valley of the dry bones, O house of Israel, the whole house of Israel, the resurrection out of their graves at the second coming of Christ, and as we've discussed the last couple of days, John chapter 11, the resurrection of Lazarus. At the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, those bodies come out of the grave. So the rapture was of their souls only. The bodies come up when Jesus returns. Now that completes the first rapture, the rapture of the Old Testament saints. Now let's look at the second rapture, which is the rapture of the New Testament saints. The rapture of the New Testament saints. Now this is prophesied in the Song of Solomon. You know, the Song of Solomon is about about Solomon and his wife. But actually, it pictures Jesus Christ and the bride of Christ. And in the Song of Solomon, chapter 2, in verse 10, we read this, my beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone, the flowers appear on the earth, the time of the singing of the birds is come, the voice of the turtle is heard in our land. The fig tree putteth forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grape give a good smell. Arise, see that rapture thing? Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. There you go. Come up hither, he says. There's a prophecy then in the Song of Solomon, a picture of the bride of Christ and his and the bridegroom. We see a picture here of the rapture in the springtime, no less. Some say that they believe the rapture will take place at Pentecost, just as when the Holy Spirit arrived, that he'll also come and catch his bride away. And if you read again that passage that I read quickly for you in the Song of Solomon chapter 2, beginning with verse 10, you'll find that's all springtime stuff, which is also near the time of the Pentecost. Now, the actual rapture of the New Testament saints takes place in 1 Corinthians 15, which you should be familiar with now. We've dealt with it a little bit lately. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, but we'll go back over there just in case. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 50. Now, this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood, see, flesh will have an inheritance in the kingdom of God, because we're going to get our bodies back. But blood can't. So that's why these corruptible bodies that are corrupted because of the blood that's in them cannot go to heaven the way they are. They've got to be changed into a body like Christ's body. Well, he didn't have any blood left in his. He shed it all on the cross. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. Those are bodies coming up incorruptible. We shall be changed. This corruptible must put on incorruption. This mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Those are bodies that are held in a grave that come up. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, you're familiar with. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, rapture of the New Testament saints. Verse 16, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Now these are bodies that are coming up, not souls. In the Old Testament saints, in their rapture, their souls came up, their bodies were still in the grave. But for the New Testament saints, these are the bodies coming up, because the souls are already there. I've shown you this a number of times, but Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6 shows us that we have already been raised up together and made to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That happens to you the moment that you get saved, Ephesians 2, 6. Notice again, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. The moment you die, you are present with the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6 says, therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith and not by sight. 2 Corinthians 5, 8, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. So as soon as you drop this robe of flesh, you are present with the Lord. Your soul goes up immediately. So what we're waiting on is just exactly the opposite of the Old Testament saints. We're waiting on our bodies to go up. Our souls are already united in the body of Christ by the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and then taken up literally when we drop this robe of flesh. Now, this is something that takes place before the tribulation. I know there's all these kind that have you going through the tribulation now, and they've got all kind of proof texts for it. By the way, in the church, we've decided that there is so much speculation in prophecy today that people don't even know what they're talking about anymore. They're trying to place Babylon in there. They're trying to place the United States of America in there. They're trying to place the countries into prophecy and trying to locate everything now. And there's a lot of speculation in that. But there's no speculation in study in prophecy to see what it says in the Bible. And quite frankly, there's more prophecy right there in the Bible that needs to be learned that nobody's dealing with, because they all want to speculate about what's coming and when it's going to happen and where we're going to be, that we decided we're going to sort it out from the Bible and just see what it says. And there's all kind of stuff in there people hadn't seen that's just there that we're studying that needs to be seen. And what we're noticing by studying the events concerning the rapture, that it is definitely pre-tribulation. Definitely. And that's not just by studying Matthew chapter 24 and 1 Corinthians 15 and 1 Thessalonians 4 and Revelation chapter 7 and Revelation chapter 1 and Ezekiel chapter 37 and other places where people like to go. That comes from studying the body of Christ, salvation, the gospel of the kingdom, the gospel of the grace of God, Israel versus the church. There's a lot of stuff that people have to twist in the scripture to get the church going up at the end or middle of the tribulation. There's just all kind of things they have to twist, all kinds of assumptions that they have to make incorrectly, and they do, and they're not right. Revelation chapter 4, verse 1 takes place before the tribulation. That's where God said to John, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And then he shows him the stuff of the tribulation. It's a pre-tribulation rapture. You say, well, boy, I sure would like to know more about it. Well, right now we're studying the Gospel of John, so we're not going to sidetrack it. Tribulation saints rapture is prophesied in Psalm 50, verses 4 through 6. The three raptures, here's the third one. Psalm 50, verse 4, he shall call to the heavens from above and to the earth that he may judge his people. Gather my saints together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. Jews, man. And the heavens shall declare his righteousness, for God has judged himself, Selah, the second coming of Christ, right there. And what happens? Gather my saints together unto me. They go up right before the second coming. Now, the souls of the Old Testament saints were held in Abraham's bosom, right? The souls of the New Testament saints are in Christ. The souls of the tribulation saints are under the altar. Look in Revelation chapter 6 at verses 9 and 10. Revelation chapter 6, look at verses 9 and 10. The souls of the tribulation saints aren't held in the body of Christ, and they're not held in Abraham's bosom. They're under the altar. Revelation chapter 6, verse 9, when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. They cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? They're calling for the second advent. And the bodies and the souls of these go up at the same time, Revelation chapter 11, verse 12. They heard a voice from heaven saying unto them, Come up hither, and they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. So their souls will come up out from under the altar, their bodies will come up from out of the graves, and whoop, they'll be there together. You know what that is? That's Matthew 24:31. I know you were wondering when I was going to get to that verse, because that's where everybody goes for the rapture. That's the tribulation rapture. You say, I don't believe it. That's been your problem all along. Look at Matthew chapter 24 real quick for the context. Matthew chapter 24, verse 13 talks about enduring unto the end. That's not the end of a man's life. The context is the end of the world. It's the end of the world system over which the devil rules before he gets chained for 1,000 years. It's the end of the tribulation. The abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet in verse 15, tribulation. Verse 21, then shall be great tribulation. He even said so. And what happens at the end of the tribulation? Verse 31, he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. There they go. And you'll find those guys standing there in Revelation chapter 7 in white robes. John sees them. Revelation chapter 7, verse 14. Revelation 7, verses 9 and 14, those are the tribulation saints, and it even says so in the verses. Isn't that amazing? Well, there they are, the three raptures.
You have been listening to the Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.